All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, please. And I want to speak to you this morning from the Good Samaritan, about the Good Samaritan. All right, if you will... Notice in, let's begin reading in verse 25. And it says in verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went," what's the next word? "Down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departing, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was." You see that? He came where he was. "And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." I'm going to stop reading right there, and let's pray, and then I want to speak to you this morning a message I'm going to entitle, Unexpected Comforters. Unexpected Comforters. Let's pray together. Father, thank you now so much for the beautiful music we have heard this morning. And I pray that the music has done what music is supposed to do, and that's prepare our hearts to receive your word. And so, Father, bless the word of God this morning. You have promised to bless your word, and so we just pray that we'll see your hand upon everything that's said this morning. May we leave here today just rejoicing in your goodness and in your work in our hearts and in our lives. So bless us now. Give us understanding of what we're about to hear. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. This story of the Good Samaritan was spoken by the Lord Jesus to what is described here, a person who is described here as a certain lawyer. He was a certain lawyer. And understand that this man was doing mainly what lawyers do, and that's try to outwit whoever they're speaking to. And so the Lord Jesus was confronted by this man, and make no mistake about it, he was trying to trip the Lord Jesus if he could. He was trying to trip him up. And of course, we all know that never worked. Not one time, whether you were a Pharisee or a Sadducee or a lawyer or whatever you were, nobody could outwit the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus turned him back to the scriptures, took him back to the Bible, which is where we always ought to go. And he said, what does the scriptures teach you about inheriting eternal life? And so he begins to quote the law, and he said that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, you have probably seen the Hasidic Jews on TV. You've seen them over at the Wailing Wall. Those are the guys with the black pants and the black coats and the white shirts and the little beanies on top of their head. And they got the little curlicues on their sideburns. All right. Now, those are the Hasidic Jews, the ultra-Orthodox Jews. And you see them at the Wailing Wall, and they'll have their scriptures in their hands, and they're rocking back and forth at that Wailing Wall, reading the scriptures out loud. Now, the reason they do that is because they are worshiping the Lord with, as the lawyer said here, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, all right, and with all their mind. They are worshiping the Lord. So that's why they do that, in case you've ever wondered what the deal is with these folks. So the Lord said in response to the lawyer's response, thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. But then this lawyer, to justify himself, we're told, asked the Lord Jesus, who then is my neighbor? And that's when the Lord Jesus followed with this parable about the good Samaritan. The Lord said to his response, thou hast answered right. Thou hast answered right. So he then comes up and says next, well then, who is my neighbor? And Jesus in this parable describes a quote-unquote certain fellow who left Jerusalem and went down to Jericho. Now, that is geographically accurate because Jerusalem is on top of the mountain, and there is a road, or there was a road in ancient times, in Christ's day. There was a road that that went down. It was mainly a walking path. A camel could walk down it. A mule could walk down it. And it went down to Jerusalem. And anytime you go from Jerusalem to Jericho, you must go down. There's no other direction to get there. Jerusalem is like 3,600 feet above sea level, and Jericho is down at the tip of the northern tip of the Dead Sea. And that is, of course, as we all know, the lowest place on the planet. And so this man was going down to Jericho. And while he was there, on his way down, he fell among thieves. The road today is a four-lane highway, and it's a little scary because those tour buses go down that thing flying. I mean, flying. I don't know how fast 120 kilometers is, but I looked at the meter there, and it said 120 kilometers. I don't know how fast that is in miles per hour, but I know I was a nervous wreck until we got to the bottom and he hit the brakes and they actually worked. So thank the Lord for that. But anyway, that is a very treacherous highway. It was dangerous. Nobody wanted to go down through there by themselves. There were always those who were waiting on you. And if you were by yourself, They took advantage of everything that was on your person. And if you fought back in any way, they would think nothing of just leaving you laying there half dead or dead. Now, in the parable, the man walking down to Jericho was accosted by a bunch of thugs who beat him, robbed him, and then left him to die. And here is, as I was reading the story this week, here is something I noticed, and I thought, you know, there's probably a message here. And sure enough, the Lord helped me get it out. But here's what I noticed. This man gets beat up. He gets left on the side of the road. They've taken everything he has. They've stripped him of his clothing, and he's half dead. They have almost killed the man. So I can see in my mind's eye this fellow laying there, and he is semi or completely unconscious. He is laying there bleeding. He is laying there broken. He is a devastated individual who greatly needs some help. And here's what I noticed. Nobody came to help this fella that you would expect would come and help him. Nobody came to help him that you would expect would have helped him. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. In verse 31, we are told that as the man lay on the side of the road, beaten, half dead, bleeding, a priest comes down the road. Now, folks, stop and think about it for a moment. If that man was laying on the side of the road and he happened to open his eyes and see a priest coming his way, don't you think that that man laying on the side of the road would have said, "Finally, some help has arrived"? Wouldn't it be incumbent upon a religious man to come to that boy's aid? But what happens? The priest walks by, just kept going. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he passed on the other side of the road. He's doing his dead level best to stay as far away from that young man as he could get. And he goes on by. You would expect him to help, wouldn't you? But he doesn't. Then a Levite ventures by. A Levite. Now, I want you to picture this guy in your mind's eye. I want you to see him dressed in the role of a Levite from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. There is absolutely no mistaking when this fella comes by who he is and what his job is. And yet, what do we read about the Levite? He passes by. He walks by. As a matter of fact, a Levite did exactly what the priest did. He crossed on the other side of the road. It's not like he came by and looked at the fella and went, "Wow, you're in bad shape, bud. See ya." He didn't do that. No, he walked on the other side. He didn't want anything to do with him, just like the priest. Now, you would have thought a Levite would have come running to his aid, but he doesn't. He walks on by. That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, he could not be bothered with this poor, needy soul. And there is no doubt the priest and the Levite both should quickly have made their way to this man's side and offered help and comfort. Everyone would have expected that, and none would have been shocked had they done it. But they don't. And then finally, watch this now. The last person in the world that you would have ever suspected to come by and offer help and comfort to this half-dead Jewish man was this Samaritan. You say, well, what's so strange about that, Pastor? Well, for hundreds of years now, the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along with one another. The Samaritans were half Jewish, and they did not get along with the Jews. Matter of fact, the Jews kind of shoved them all over into a region called Samaria and said, you guys live over there. We don't want to see you. We don't want to talk to you. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 4, we are specifically told that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And yet, here comes the Samaritan fella, and he sees the fella beaten up and left half dead, and he comes running over. And folks, I want you to notice, not only does he help him, but he goes exceeding abundantly above what anybody would have expected him to do. He puts the man on his own animal, takes him to an inn, and takes his money bag off, gets coins out, pays the innkeeper and says, help this man. Help this man. He said, I've already put oil and wine on his wounds. I've bandaged him up. But I want you to keep him here and take care of him. Do your best to satisfy the needs that this man has. And if I owe you anything, when I come back, I'll give it to you. Now that, my friends, is going above and beyond, all right? He doesn't know this guy. He doesn't know this fellow laying there half dead. And the fellow half dead does not know who the Samaritan is. But he went above and beyond in order to comfort and to encourage this poor Jewish man who was beaten and left for dead. Now, I'm telling you, the Samaritan was an unexpected comforter. Now, just a couple of things. First of all, notice how there are instances of this truth in the Bible. You see, getting comfort from unexpected sources. Isn't it something that God knows our needs before we even know our needs? Isn't it amazing that God knows what we need before we even come to the realization, this is what I need? God knows our needs. Now, folks, let that sink in to your mind. You say, but Pastor, I'm really struggling. I've got this. And God knows all about it. That's what I'm telling you. God knows all about it. Now, let's go to one of the earliest Christians in order to illustrate this great truth. Going way back to the earliest days of the New Testament church in the book of Acts, we are introduced to a fellow very early in the book whose name was Saul. He was a Pharisee. He was a dedicated Pharisee. He was killing people thinking that he was doing God a favor. All right? That's how dedicated this man was to his Jewish faith. And Saul took it upon himself as he started his career, he took it upon himself to try to stamp out Christianity if it was the last thing he ever did. He was a cruel, mean individual. if there was one man the believers feared, it was Saul of Tarsus. His very name struck fear in the hearts of the Jewish people, the believers. They never heard of his approach without dismay, for everywhere, as we're told in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, in verse 3, we're told that Saul made havoc of the church, entered into every house, and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. That was Paul's testimony. That's what people knew when they heard the name Saul of Tarsus. They were saying to themselves, oh my, this guy's coming our way, we better hide. This guy's coming, he's looking for us. He's going to find our church. He's going to persecute our church. And so Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul after he was born again, Saul persecuted the early church. We're told in Acts chapter 9, on the day when Saul was saved, he was on his way to Damascus, and he had a briefcase full of subpoenas and death certificates in order to arrest believers in Damascus. And he had authority from the Sanhedrin to go and arrest and execute those who were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Christians of Damascus were scared to death of him. It was on the road, though, to Damascus when Saul got saved. And when he was brought into town after he was saved, although he was blind because God blinded him for a few days. He was blind. That gave no comfort whatsoever to the Christians who were there. They were still afraid. They didn't trust him. And so they were scared to death. But Saul would one day become their mightiest of champions. You see, he was Saul as he was coming into Damascus. But when he left, he was Paul, all right? And instead of persecuting the church, he left advocating for the church, blessing the church. And what a great guy Paul turned out to be. But listen, you're standing in Damascus and you're a believer, and word has it, Saul is outside. What? Saul is outside. Oh no, let's hide. No, the Lord said, we're to go out and get him and bring him in and comfort him. Oh no, I'm not comforting that guy. That guy's going to kill us. No, the Lord said, we're to comfort him. And so they went out and they brought him in. Ananias, you remember the story? Ananias got him. Now, Ananias looked at him over the top of his glasses for every waking moment. Make no mistake about that. But Saul was changed. And God used unexpected comforters and used Saul to be a blessing to that early church in Damascus. Wow, what an encouragement Saul would become. The Apostle Paul would bless believers not only with his presence, but with his preaching, with his daily care of the churches, and with his great testimony as a soul winner, and with his toiling night and day with tears for the saints of God. My, what a great blessing Saul turned out to be. Unexpected, but nonetheless, you know, when God gets a hold of your heart and you get saved and God changes you, it is sometimes unexpected. I've told you all before that when I walked down on that Sunday night and told the pastor that the Lord had called me to preach, he stepped back a little bit and looked at me and said, "Are you kidding? Really?" I said, "Yeah." And he later told me, he said, I shouldn't have said that to you. And I said, "You think?" I mean, didn't hurt my feelings at all. No. He said, "Bank robber." I might have gone down that road. "Drug dealer, you know, but preacher?" He said, "Surprise, surprise. Yeah, there are unexpected comforters, aren't there? And God knows what he's doing, folks. And God will put an unexpected comforter in front of you when you need it. God will bless and walk with you and share with you and meet the needs of your heart. It might be in a completely unexpected way, but God knows what he's doing. And we need to be looking for the things that God puts in our path. Similarly, in Paul's life years later, he was an unexpected comforter. You remember when he was shipwrecked along the coast of Malta in the Mediterranean. And Luke tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 28 and verse 2, where it says, "And the barbarous people," the barbarians, all right? That's how Luke called them. They were not Jewish. They were barbarians in Luke's eyes. In other words, they had no God. They worshiped false gods. They were barbarous people. And so what we read here is, "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness." In other words, they showed a great deal of kindness. "The barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us," all the men on the ship that had wrecked, "they received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold." So in other words, these barbarians saw these Jewish guys, their boat crashed and fell apart, and they saw them and they felt sorry for them, and they offered help. They comforted them. You see, folks, Roman citizens, I found out this week, were bound to help one another all throughout the empire. All you had to do was simply say, "I'm a Roman citizen. I'm a citizen of Rome." And other Romans were bound by law to come to your aid and to come to your help. But with these barbarians, I mean, the comforters here were barbarians. They weren't Roman citizens. They could care less about what Rome was up to. And Paul was finding what we all find, that comforters are often unexpected, that the folks who are kind to us in our hours of shipwreck are the last folks in the world that we should have thought would be our comforters. I mean, Paul was like the traveler going down to Jericho. He was comforted in his hour of need. He was comforted to his own astonishment. He was comforted and assisted and fed and given warmth by the barbarian people. You know, the last person in the world that Jewish man laying on the side of the road, half beaten, half dead, the last person that he would have suspected to help him was the Samaritan. But thank God there's unexpected comforters. I know you've had them. Does not the Bible tell us that we entertain angels unawares? I can't wait to get to heaven to find out how many times that's happened to me. I just can't wait. But I'm sure that has happened along the way. Second thing I want you to see, let's notice us receiving help from unexpected sources. You see, when you stop to think about it, all of us have found help from sources we never expected to receive comfort from. All of us have. I mean, there's, of course, those to whom we look to for comfort and find it. Like mother in our childhood. You know, mom just always seemed to have the right words to say, didn't she? Mom just always had the right touch. Mom just always had that look that she could give you to where you just instantly felt everything's going to be okay. Maybe it was dad who could offer cheer and lift us up with a strong hand and a reassuring tone. But like the well of Hagar in the book of Genesis, or the burning bush with Moses in the book of Exodus, or the ladder that Jacob saw in his dream coming down from heaven to the earth with the angels of God walking up and down the ladder to give assurance and comfort to Jacob. I mean, with the radiant glory of Christ beaming at the top and shining its way down, how often are our comforters and helpers the last folks we would expect? I can't imagine that, you know, Hagar's out there, she's thirsty, her baby's thirsty, she just feels like, I'm going to give up and die. And then all of a sudden, she looks over and there's a well. Well, look at there. Well, where did that come from? Well, there's a God that loves you. That's where it came from. Jacob laying out there in Bethel in Samaria. He's laying there on that rocky ground and trying to stay warm. And maybe he's got an old blanket his mother gave him and he throws it over himself to keep himself warm. And then he's sitting there wondering who's going to come along and kill me and take everything I have. And then all of a sudden, there's a light that shines, and a ladder comes down out of heaven. You think Jacob was expecting that to happen? Of course not. But God knew what he needed, didn't he? And what did he see on that ladder? The angels of God walking up and down. Nothing's going to happen to you, son. Nothing's going to happen to you. The angels of God are watching over you. And Jacob, look up at the top of that ladder. And Jacob goes over and looks up. And there's the Lord up there. What's going to happen to you, Jacob? Nothing. I'm going to sleep. See you guys. No problem. Yeah. No problem at all. You see, folks, it's amazing how the God of all comfort is able to give us exactly what and exactly who and exactly how his comfort should come to us. It's amazing how God does that. Like innocent and curious children, you know, they can bring a smile and a comfort to your heart when you least expect it. Ray and Lisa have a granddaughter, Sophia, and their daughter's little girl, and she is amazing. The things that come out of her mouth, absolutely amazing. And during the SOAR conference this last year, they invited me over for supper, and I got to spend a little time with them. And that little gal, I never giggled so much in all my life. I mean, just the things that come out of that girl's mouth. And I was sitting there thinking, tomorrow night I got to preach. Tomorrow night, you know, I'm on. That's the most nerve-wrecking time, you know, the sword week. Do you enjoy the sword? No. I got a whole church full of preachers, and I got to preach to them. No. Once I get started, I'm good. All right. Once you get started, but boy, just working up to it. Oh, and so there I was at their house, and just watching her and laughing. Lisa comes in about every Sunday morning and tells me a new Sophia line. And we just laugh. Oh, she's so witty, so witty. And but children can do that from the most unexpected source. I mean, maybe even from someone we are jealous of, or we were jealous of, or had some kind of bitterness towards. Boy, that's a real eye-opener, isn't it? Someone you had bitterness against, somebody you just decided you didn't like them. And then all of a sudden, God uses that person to heap coals of fire on your head, and they're a comfort to your soul. You see, we just never know how the Lord's going to work. And they might come in and pour oil onto your wounds, give money from their pockets to make sure you're taken care of. I mean, that's what the Samaritan did for this badly beaten traveler. In the church that I pastored out in Illinois before coming here, there was a fellow who came in one Sunday morning, and I noticed that he was a visitor, first time there. I looked back and I saw him, and he was way in the back of the church. Our church was deep. It was just two rows of pews, but they were very deep, about 20 feet long pews on either side, and the aisle in the middle, and they sat in the back. And so I thought to myself, it's his first time here. And then I looked down at my message and I thought, oh, bless his heart. You know? But you gotta preach what the Lord leads you to preach. And I preached on sin that morning. And I left no rock unturned, I'll tell you. I mean, just, you know, right down the line. And I later found out that this fella came to church looking for comfort from the Word of God after losing his wife to cancer. And he had buried his wife about 3 weeks earlier. And so he comes and sits in the service that morning. But that morning, he did not find comfort in my message, because I preached on sin that morning. But the man that he sat beside, out of all the people in our church, the man that he sat beside had just lost his wife a year earlier to cancer. So they got to talking with one another, and he found comfort in speaking to my church member who was going through, had already been through the most of it, and with the words that he was able to give as comfort to this new man. You see, folks, God knows what we need. That's my point. There are unexpected wells in Hagar's desert. There are unexpected comforters in our lives. And most of the time, they come to us when we are not expecting them to show up. I mean, it's just like Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas. Do you remember them walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus? And their hearts are broken. They have just witnessed the crucifixion of their Lord and friend, Jesus Christ. Now they're walking back home, 6-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They're walking that little stretch of road that takes them home. And who shows up but the Lord Jesus himself? Did not our hearts burn within us as we walked in the way? Folks, God knows what he's doing with you. Don't get weary in well-doing. Amen. Don't take the towel off the rack and just throw it in and say, I quit. No, you can't quit. There's an unexpected comforter that is about ready to show up and help you. So don't quit now. Don't quit now. And then one last thing. Notice the one specific person from whom we find our comfort. And this one specific person is someone who is an unexpected source if there ever was one. It's a strange thing that men should turn for comfort to a carpenter. Don't you think? We got a lot of carpenters in our church. I'm not putting you down, but hey, listen, you guys have a certain set of skills, and God's blessed you with that. So praise the Lord for it. But you know, in most cases, I've never had anybody come and say, Pastor, I need some counseling. You know a good carpenter I can talk to? You know, sorry, it just had never happened. But they come and they say, Pastor, I need some counseling. Can you help me? Yeah, I know a carpenter in this book right here. And this carpenter can put your life back together again like nobody's business. Let me show you what he has to say. You see, unexpected comforters. You wouldn't expect it, but that's when the Lord Jesus does his best work, when you and I are not looking for it. Strange thing is, this carpenter, oh, he lived 2,000 years ago, and he was from a Jewish family. He was not educated in the best universities, but he didn't have to be. He already knew everything. He was despised and rejected of men, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We all know and understand that priests and preachers can disappoint us. We all know and understand Levites can let us down. But I want you to know, folks, the Good Samaritan never disappoints. Let's trust him. Let's trust him. Look carefully, please, at verse 33, and notice, he came to where he was. That's what our Samaritan does, our Good Samaritan. He comes to where we are. So let's trust him, folks. The traveler was beaten, robbed, stripped of his clothes, and left on the road to die. Ah, here comes a priest. He'll help me, but he didn't. Wait a minute, here comes another. Oh, that's a Levite. Surely the Levite will help me. But no, he goes on by. But then, just in the nick of time, just on time every time, a Samaritan walks by. And the Good Samaritan, the unexpected comforter, stepped off the path, came over to the side of the road where this poor fellow lay, and said, I'm going to help you, sir. Why don't you listen real carefully and let the Lord Jesus help you with what you're dealing with today? He will. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, please, and no one's looking around for just a moment. I wonder how many will say, Pastor, I need an unexpected comforter to help me. I'm dealing with some things and I need help. So, Pastor, would you pray for me this morning? I'm going to put my hand up this morning. How about you? an unexpected comforter, would you let him help you? Would you let him bless? Would you let him work in your life? Amen. God bless all of you. Thank you so much. You may put your hands down. Thank you so much. Father, you know our needs today, and our needs are just seemingly to us just impossible. But Father, nothing is impossible with you. And so I pray that you will comfort our hearts today. Be that unexpected comforter and just come to where we are, bandage us up. Help us, Father, to get back on track and get busy for you. And Lord, there, you saw all these hands, and I was a little surprised by the number of young people who raised their hand this morning. And Father, I pray that you'll speak to their hearts. I'm sure young people have more problems today than what we had to face. So I pray that you'll meet needs in their hearts as well. And Lord, just help us to trust you, our good Samaritan. And we'll thank you for what you do in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.